Good morning. It's good to be back. Starting last Sunday, I've been going to Shakota each day and night for a gospel meeting, and that went very well, and so glad to be back with you. Today's a busy day, if you didn't know it. We have a youth and family minister candidate here with us today, Clay Russell, and his wife, Katie. And if y'all would just stand just for a moment, if you haven't met them afterwards, take an opportunity, thank you, to meet them. They have three lovely children, Owen, who is 8, Holden, who is 6, and Grayson is 2. And they will be with us today. Clay taught the teen class this morning. They will have lunch with our search committee. They'll interview with the elders. After that, we will have an LTC Awards today at 4, say it with me, 4 o'clock, and y'all can relax during that time and take a breather. And after that, at 6 o'clock, the teens will have an activity, and Clay will lead that in a short devotional. So a busy, busy day, but we're excited to have y'all with us from Fort Gibson. And so we look forward to the rest of today. Today's sermon is about who we belong to. And, you know, that happened at the moment. If you're a Christian, it happened at the moment you gave your life to God. You said, this is soaked with sin, and buried it and had a funeral, a spiritual funeral, and rose a new creature. So I want us to launch from Philippians 3:12, which says, not that I've already obtained this, or am already perfect. And that's Paul. He's talking about he hasn't been raised from the dead yet. He wants that in the future. He wants heaven. Hasn't obtained it yet. Not there yet. He says, but I press on. And so we're, as Christians, we are on a mission and we're going somewhere. And that place is heaven. We're trying to take as many with us. We press on to that goal. He says, to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. And that last part, Christ Jesus has that made me his own, your Bible may read a little different. New American reads, for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. And that Greek word that's translated there, the Greek word is katalambano. And it has kind of two different aspects of it. One aspect is to take hold, lay hold. That's a New American reads that way. New King James, the King James Version says apprehend. So it's snatch, you know, take hold of, seize. And the other aspect of that is to possess or attain. So it kind of has a relationship, but also an eager attaining. And a number of years ago, this was, Brock is 16 now, so almost 16. Not yet. Remind him of that. This is when Stephanie and I lived here in town. We had a pool, had some friends. I don't know if it was a small group or what it was, but the Odells were there, and Brock was maybe 3, and what I remember about him at that age is Brock is fearless. He has no fear, partly because he doesn't feel pain like normal human beings. And at a young age, I remember that poor boy would have bumps and bruises on him. You know why? Because he's not careful. Why? Because he doesn't feel pain, and he's fearless. But he would run around our pool, and he just went headlong in one time. And Rick goes right after him, is in the shallow end, snatches him up. It's okay. A little bit later, he goes to do it again, and Rick grabs the back of his shirt and pulls him up, snatches him. Catalambanoed him, okay? Seized him, right? For good purpose. That's part of what this means. Another part is kind of the relationship part. And some of you may not know, some of you have told this, but Stephanie and I, we met and went out on a first date, ate Chinese. That was my condition. And I'd have probably taken her somewhere else if she didn't like Chinese. But had our first date, and we liked each other and started dating seriously. We were both 26 years old, and lo and behold, 3 months later, we were wedded. And that was on purpose, 3 months. that we knew each other. And I really liked her. I want her to be my wife. And don't let her kid you. She liked me too. She went, you know, agreeably. And I caught a lambano'd her. I wanted her to be mine. I wanted us to be married. And that's what Paul is saying. He's talking about I press on because Christ Jesus has made me his own. But he didn't just make me his own. I mean, he seized me. He took me. He claimed me. So my question for you, has Jesus chosen you? Are you a Christian? Has he rescued you from your past sins? Has he redeemed you? And if your answer is no, I would remind you, he's trying to. If you're not saved, Christ is trying to save you. God is trying to save you. But if you are saved, if those things speak to you that you've been redeemed, you have experienced unearned, unmerited, undeserved favor. And in a word, that is grace. And Paul received that grace. Now, Paul, maybe it hit him a little deeper because he was an enemy of Christ. Remember, Christ blinds him on the road to Damascus? But Paul understood the grace he had received, and that's why he presses on so hard, so passionately. And so I want to talk about three things that what it means to belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. What does that mean? Well, the first one, it means I'm saved. I have salvation. Do you still remember when you were lost? When you were dead in your sins? Every sin you ever committed was counted against you. You were guilty. If you are saved, you're now safe with Jesus. And that's what belonging to Jesus means. Our scripture this morning, my sheep hear my voice. This is Jesus talking. He says, I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Have you ever lost anything? Let me rephrase that. Has something ever been taken from you? You ever lost a loved one and you can't get them back? Some part of your life has been taken and you can't get it back. The lowest point in my life was not long before I met Stephanie. It was a time before I met Stephanie, and that was a low point because my first marriage failed. And it was due to infidelity, and it was not due to anything I had done, but I had very quickly lost my marriage, my home, my intact family. I thought I lost my career, livelihood. And I remember each week taking communion like we just did. I remember each week cherishing that because having lost so much, I clung to what no one could ever take from me. That's what this verse is saying. This verse is not saying you could never be lost. It's saying it can never be taken from you. No one can ever snatch you out of God's hand. Salvation. Do you cherish it? Do you understand the gift? All right, number two, belonging to Jesus means I gladly serve. We have a great Psalm 100, verse 1 says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. We had, periodically, we'll have a memorial service with someone who's been cremated. And in contrast to if there's a casket, then the funeral home typically comes and facilitates a lot of that day or that service. When it's a memorial, like my mother's service, cremation, then there's no need for the funeral home to be here. So it's on the church staff to kind of do a few things. And so we did that the other day. And Stephanie was here, and she kind of got drafted into service. She ran the sound room for us. This was for Dan's service. And beforehand, she's running around. One of the most awkward things I ever do as a minister is we'll have this center section sectioned off, and some unsuspecting, just innocent mistake individual will come in. They're just trying to find a place, and they'll sit in the center, which is reserved. And so I have to go and say, if you don't mind, this is for the family. Are you family? I mean, it's awkward. It's real awkward. They're awkward. They feel embarrassed, and I'm embarrassed, and everybody's embarrassed. But anyway, so this happened that day, and Stephanie saw it before I did, and she made a move to go talk to this poor woman. And I let her, because I'm like, hey, I hate doing that. And so you're here, and you're a lady, and she's a lady, and you ladies can talk. And so they did, and I thought that was great. And then next thing I know, Stephanie's buzzing around doing different things and serving. And she comes to me. She says, do we have any more tissues? We need some tissues for the family. And I said, I mean, I put two out there, which as a man, I thought was probably one too many. But she said, that's not going to be enough. And so we go back. I said, I know where they are. We go back. Yvette always has us stocked on stuff. She's on top of it. And we go back, and I find this cellophane wrap, probably 8 or 10 boxes of tissue. And I grab that, and I bring this over. It's already open, and I bring it over to her for her to grab one or two more. She takes the whole, that'll work, takes the whole thing, right? She's just working. And as she's doing all this, she does it with joy. Why? Because when you serve in Christ or in Christ's name, it's a joyful thing. It's joyful because of what Christ has already done for you, because you belong to Christ. He has made you his own. Everything that means, when we serve, we do it for joy, with joy. Is there anything you can do for God or for God's name or his glory or his kingdom, the church? Is there any way you can help? Anything you can do? The answer is yes, always. And you may be, we have a number watching from home this morning. We have 50 devices tuned in, and glad that you're with us. You may be homebound and not even be able to really go much of anywhere, but can you pray? Can you get a bulletin and pray over things? Can you think about what God is doing and people that have need? Can you get on your knees and pray? Because that's at the top of the most effective things we can ever do, is pray. But when we serve, whatever it is you do, however you can serve, remember God has already given. I can't pay it back. I'm just serving out of joy for what God's already done for me. All right, number three. Belonging to Jesus means I have self-confidence. Do you feel good about being you? I think it's a struggle when we're really young. You know, if we have a good environment that we're growing up in. When we're really young, we're kind of oblivious. I mean, life's good. Like, I'm looking at one right now. Life is good, you know? Not worried about what other people think. Not worried about how they compare to other people. Just living. Then you get to an age in grade school, and you start to get aware of other people. And I'm not as fast as this one. I'm not as tall as that one. And I'm not, you know, my hair doesn't look like her hair. And so just different ways of comparing ourselves growing up. Then you get into adolescence and become, honestly, a little paranoid. Because in adolescence, this is no joke, the mind becomes hyper aware of other people's view of you. That's a part of adolescence. You grow out of that, but man, it's a tough journey. And you think, everybody's always looking at me. And so, do you feel good about being you? I expect the answer to that is, well, kind of. Kind of. I like certain things about me. Don't like other things about me. Kind of stuck with me. So, kind of, preacher. Well, I want to encourage you to feel good about you, but for a different reason. But let me start with some of the reasons we tend to feel good about ourselves based on our strengths, whatever it is you're good at. Which it is helpful growing up as a kid and an adolescent to to have some strengths, some things that you feel good about being you. That's a good thing. But, so, your strengths. Are you funny? Are you intelligent? Are you educated? Talented? Are you creative? Maybe you're athletic. Are you attractive or wealthy? Hardworking? High achieving? Well liked? Maybe people like you. Are you kind? Are you generous? You know, maybe something not on that list, but it's something about you. You feel good about it. I want to encourage you to feel good about yourself, not because of your strengths, but because of your status. If you're in Christ, because of your status, okay? Here's what we have if we're in Christ. We're made in God's image. Incidentally, these first three or four, this is whether you're in Christ or not. Made in God's image, you are wanted, you are chosen, you are loved. If you're in Christ, you are forgiven, you're saved, you are redeemed, you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I want you to hold out your hand and look at it. When I look at my hand, by the way, it looks like my dad's hand. When I was growing up, dad's hand was a little wrinkly. Lo and behold, that hand right there looks just like his did when he was old. Now look, your body, your physical body is, if you're in Christ, it is holy. It is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's holy. You touch it, it's holy, it's sanctified. That there's a deeper meaning there than maybe we ever understand. God has made us holy. He has given us a ministry of reconciliation. You are useful to God in His kingdom, which is the church, which is the greatest organization this planet has ever known. The church, by far, it's not even close. The greatest organization. It is that which God planned from the beginning, and it was a mystery. People didn't understand it. God's plan was always to bring Jews and Gentiles together in the kingdom, the saved. It is the eternal kingdom. It is far superior to anything man has ever come up with, and you're a part of it. You're a servant in it. And a great passage, we'll kind of wind down on this passage here. I love it. 1 Corinthians 3:18, let no one deceive himself. It's quite a statement. People believe false things because they deceive themselves. Isn't that sad? Like, it's one thing for someone else to trick you, but you can trick your own self. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise, let's stop there for a second. So Corinth was in it was a Roman city, but it was in a part of the world heavily influenced by the Greek culture, which to the Greeks, wisdom was king. I mean, wisdom was it. In our society, as far as truth, our society really overvalues science because a lot of science is not, a lot of what's portrayed as science is not factual, but anyway, but just in general, we view scientific knowledge as really high. Our society also views popularity, social media popularity, just in our world popularity, wealth, fame, popularity, athleticism, sports, these things we view as big time. We look up to it. We shouldn't, but we do. Well, in their culture, it was knowledge. It was wisdom. And so you can replace the word wise here. You can insert other words like talented, successful, famous, educated, rich, superior, whatever. And honestly, whatever you feel great about being you, if you feel like you're a really kind person, so therefore you like being you, that's not entirely bad. But put that in here. If anyone believes he's kind, the kindness of the world is folly to God. Your own kindness it falls short of God's holiness. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So our humanness is not near as great as we think it is. So let no one boast in men. for all things are yours. Now, this first part, what it's talking about is that there were divisions in Corinth, and they had kind of got enamored, kind of idolized some of these church leaders. You have Paul, Apollos, Cephas, and they were getting divided because, by the way, have you ever gotten a signature from a famous person? I have. I'll raise my hand. Raise your hand high. You don't have to be embarrassed. Got a signature for someone, okay? Have you ever, now, if you did not raise your hand, have you ever met a famous person? You didn't get their signature, but you met them, right? And you probably told someone. You'll never guess who I met. I met da 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 da. Really? Where did you see that person? I mean, our eyes get wide. Why? Because they're famous. The church was doing this. I was, you know, Paul. Did you know Paul converted me? I mean, I know you were with, who was it, Cephas? Yeah. I was with Paul. No, I was, Apollos is the one that's, you know, Apollos is really, he's amazing. And so they were divided over this. And what does Paul say about it? He says, all of them are yours. So whether it's them or, and why are they theirs? These are all Christians. We're in the church. The church is one body. If you learn from Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or you didn't, they're all still yours. It's your family. It's all yours. Or the world. So what's in the world? We chase things that are in the world. We may long or dream for things that are in this world. God has made this world for us to enjoy. We enjoy it more than we should, oftentimes. This world's not our home, and we're not to fall in love with it, but it's so tempting to try to make this world a paradise. And what Paul is saying is, hey, if it's things of the world that you're excited about, you already have. Guess who owns all the world? God Almighty. Your Father. Your Father owns it all. Did you know everything that's good, God has given you, the Christian, or he's trying to give it to you? Everything that is good, I mean really good, he's giving it to you. You might say, you don't understand. I got my eyes on this new bass boat, da da da. You know, everything that's really good. I don't mean fleeting. I don't mean it, you know, it's something you'll get tired of in a little bit or distracted by that could be an albatross. Everything that is really good, God gives it to us. That's a whole other sermon. It's amazing. The world, it's yours. Life, people are chasing happiness. Everyone chases happiness. I don't care what they're doing. People become so enamored or obsessed with pursuits. What are they chasing? A feeling. You can name someone who's really committed to some goal, and I'll tell you what they're really after is how that makes them feel. What is Elon Musk doing? What is he pursuing? What is he working? He gets up and works every day. Why? He has a lot of money. He's not working for money. What's he working for? A feeling. Some sense of accomplishment, success, right? Productivity. All right, so life, God's given us everything good in life. By the way, God's given us joy that we can have at all times. We don't have regret in chasing what God gives us because it's fulfilling. All right, how about death? People are most afraid of death. Jesus conquered death. We're good there. How about the present? In the present, we're serving in the kingdom. How about in the future? Guess who's in the future? God is. So let me back up. Is it Paul? Is it Apollos? Cephas? Those are already yours. Is it the world? God's given you everything that's good there. Is it life? God has showed you life. He's given it to you. Death? Jesus conquered death. Is it the present? You serve in the kingdom. Is it the future? God's in the future. If you're worried about the future, all are yours. So here we are trying to feel good about ourselves because, well, I'm better than a lot of people at this or this or this, or I kind of like that I'm this way, or I'm really hardworking, or I'm good with my money, or I'm smart, or I'm educated, or I'm talented, or you see what I mean? I'm good with people. Whatever it is you're good at, forget all that. I mean, that's okay, but you got to set that down here and say, I belong to Jesus, and everything I need, everything that's good I have in Jesus. It's because of my status. It's all mine. It's all mine. And I am Christ's, and Christ is God's. And I encourage you to use a phrase in many different situations. And the phrase is, I belong to Jesus. If you're in a situation that's frustrating or you're anxious about it, maybe it's at school, maybe it's at work, maybe it's an argument with your spouse on the way to church, I belong to Jesus. There's a lot of things that statement means, but it applies, and you'll use it how you need it. I belong to Jesus. If you're on your knees praying for your children because you're worried about them, I belong to Jesus. What does that mean? It means He's hearing my prayer. He's my mediator. God the Father's hearing my prayer. I belong to Him. God's hearing it. God's helping. If your parents are being unfair, if you're jealous what someone else has, if you're bitter about someone, what someone has done to you, if you're sad because of what you've lost, maybe you're lonely, maybe you're worried about the future, maybe you're angry about how you've been treated, I belong to Jesus. I'm protected in Christ. People can hurt me, but I belong to Jesus. Do you feel that safety, that security, that I have what I could ever, ever want? And that's Jesus Christ. We're going to sing a song this morning, and if there's something that's on your heart that you'd like us to stop and lift up to God, we'd love to pray for you if we can do that. If there's someone here this morning, if you've not given your life to Christ, you don't belong to Jesus. You've been thinking about it, starting to worry about it. You've been putting it off. Why put it off? Let us help you with it. Let's do it today. Please come while we stand and sing.
Blessed assurance,
Jesus is mine. What a foretaste of glory divine. There is salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praise my Savior, all the day long.
Watching and waiting.